practical categories and ideas in a prayer. I thought about, now what does this mean? And what will I preach about? So I took it word for word and noticed the first word was practical. Well, Webster says to make the meaning of practical as simple as I can. Listen to what he said. It means that which is richly or readily practiced, fit for doing sensible. The next word was, the second word, categories. Sum it up with Webster saying, categories means a set of groups, a set or groups. The third word, ideas. Ideas means a concept, an object of the mind, a formulated thought or opinion. Now let's see if I can come up with an understandable title for my lesson, Jerry. Readily practiced groups of concepts or formulated thoughts in a prayer. That's exactly what you meant. I knew. Well, then he wrote in parentheses out on the side, what to pray for. If you'd have just said that in the first place, it would have saved me all that worry and fret. But is Mark in here now, or did he have to leave? What is so sad that Jerry had his subject, for what may we pray? And my subject is, what to pray for? And I followed Mark. Can you imagine? He already blowed everything I had to say. But I remember one thing when I was trying to learn the multiplication tables. Pardon? I remember I had to say over and over and over the multiplication tables in order to remember them. So if you hear this over and over and over in this sermon, and the one you had before, you're going to remember it. So that's where we're going, Jerry. We just go with whatever. Now, my subject, the thought is, what to pray for. Now, I've heard some wonderful lessons this morning. We should pray. And brethren, let me tell you, I believe in prayer. The older I get, the more I believe in prayer. Hey, God hears our prayers. We have assurance of that. And if we don't pray, then we need to learn how to pray. Because God does answer our prayers. He hears our prayers. We are His children. And thank God we can have a talk with our Father. We can have a conversation. We can plead with Him. So I think this is a great subject. Now my subject is not whether or not we should pray. The Bible plainly teaches that. If you have your Bibles with you, maybe you'd like to take a pencil and paper and write down a few of these verses that I'm going to refer to. And they've already been referred to, I'm sure, a number of times as long as the lectureship has been going. But if you'll turn to the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, and this was used a few moments ago in the lecture previous. Beginning at verse 7. I'm using the American Standard Version. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now listen to this. Or what man is there of you who if his son should ask for a loaf would give him a stone? Or if he should ask for a fish, would give him a serpent? If then, being evil, you know how to give good gifts unto your children, then how much more shall your Father, who's in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask him? Hey, brethren, the Bible is plain. These are the sayings of Jesus. Ask, talk to God about it. You have assurance God is hearing. Then I noticed that Paul said in the familiar passage in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, pray without ceasing. Notice what Peter said in 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their supplications. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. My subject is not whether or not God answers our prayers or the conditions of our prayers. My subject is what to pray for. And I like this idea. Pray for things. Now you can minimize it or you can mock it or do whatever you want, but the Bible teaches that we ought to pray for the necessities of life. Oh, why pray to God about things? He already knows what you need before you ever ask Him. Yeah, I remember reading that. In the great Sermon on the Mount, in the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew, in verse 8, Jesus said, be not therefore likened unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask Him. Yes, it's true, God already knows. But Jesus said to ask Him anyway. And this I'm interested in. And Jesus gives us a very vivid example. You know, in this, I suppose the old term would be as good as any, the model prayer that is given in the great Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. In the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew, in verse number 11, Jesus says, when you pray, say, give us this day our daily bread. Now, what he's saying is simply ask for some of the necessities that you have for your body. Ask for it. Now, I like the psalmist saying, when he tells us in the 30th Psalm, verse 8, remove far from me the falsehood and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. We need to pray to God to give us the food that we need. So I need to pray for necessities. And Jesus gives us the example. Along with our prayers for food, we must be willing to work for it. Hey, the other day I stopped at the Red Lion hamburger stand. Wife and I stopped to get one of those gastronomic triumphs. And I saw a sign, a guy standing out there with a sign. I'm hungry. Help me. I'm sorry, I'll get back in front of it. I'm hungry, help me. God bless you. I watched him. He stood out there for a while. He's a lot younger than I am. Looked to be a lot more able to work. Finally, he pulled down his sign, put it under his arm, and he started over by us. And I thought, he's coming over, and he's going to ask me to give him something, and I'm going to tell him, no way in this world. In one of the fast food joints right next to it, there was a sign that said, now hiring. Hey, that guy walked in front of us, walked over across the way, got into his car, and drove away. And he's got enough gumption to beg people to give him. He's too cockeyed lazy to work. Now, the Bible said if a man won't work, what? Don't let him eat. I'm not going to feed him. I'll tell you, if somebody's hungry, can't work, sick, poor, crippled, and I'll be the first one to help him. But not a bum. Not somebody that can work himself. Now, if you're going to pray for necessities, be willing to work for what you have to eat. You can say amen. It won't scare me. Isn't that true? All right. I notice then. Listen to what Paul writes. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Look at verse 11 and 12. and that you study and be quiet and do your own business, and to work with your hands, even as we charged you, that you may walk becomingly toward them that are without, and that you may have need of nothing. Then in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, he said, if a man won't work, don't let him eat. So I ought to be willing to work if I want the necessities. I need to pray to God to supply those things, but I need to be willing to work for it. And by the way, brethren, we need to learn another lesson. Don't worry about the necessities. I've got a feeder, and it costs me about $6 a week to feed the doves. And yesterday, as close as I could count, I had 79 white-winged doves eating on the ground in my backyard. Well, so what? Well, listen to this, please. Jesus said in the 6th chapter, the same great Sermon on the Mount, verse 25, and going down through verse 33, listen to it. Therefore I say unto you, be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor your body for what ye shall put on. Is not life more than the food, and the body than the raiment? Behold, the birds of the heaven, how they sow not, and neither do they reap or gather into barns. And your heavenly Father feedeth them. How? Like old men, stupid as I am, to put the feed out there to see that they get it. They get it, don't they? Then he goes on to say, are you not much better than they? For which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit of measure to your life? Why are you anxious concerning the raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They what? They toil not, and neither do they sin. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory is not arrayed and likened to one of these. What does he say? If God doth so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? That simply means don't worry about having food and raiment. Don't worry about it. God will take care of it. He's promised to do so. In verse 33 he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And of course you remember Philippians 4:6. In nothing be anxious, but everything with prayer and supplication to God, let your requests be made known to God. I need to pray with thanksgiving. I need to pray to God for necessities of life. Brethren, there's another thing that we need to pray for, and that is for the forgiveness of our sins. Pray for forgiveness. How do you know? I go back to that same wonderful sermon in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us of our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. I can't think of any better thing to use than the 18th chapter of Matthew, where a certain Lord decided he was going to collect all that was owed by his servants. And there was a man that owed him 10,000 talents. And he went to the man and said, give me. And the man said, I can't do it. I'm not able. If you'll just be patient with me, I'll pay it all. Why, he could have taken his wife and children and made slaves of them. But the Bible said the Lord forgave him the whole debt. This same man went out to one of the fellow servants that owed him 100 shillings. Almost nothing. And he grabbed him by the throat and he said, pay me what you owe me. And the fellow said, he got on his knees. I don't have it right now, but if you'll just be patient with me, I'll pay it. I'll pay it. But he had him cast into prison when the fellow servants told the Lord what had happened. The Lord said, "You wicked servant, I forgave you everything, should you not have done so?" And he cast him into the tormentors to be tormented until the debt was paid. Brother, don't ask for God to forgive you of sins if you're not willing to forgive somebody else that sinned against you. Our brethren have got a lot of disease in this respect. We need to pray for forgiveness, but we need to be able to pray and forgive. I notice there's so many things to pray about. Jesus said in Matthew 18 and verse 35, "So shall my heavenly Father do unto you, if you forgive not everyone his brother from your hearts." Here's an example of forgiveness. It's an example of praying for forgiveness. One of the greatest examples, the one that I can remember, is Acts 8. You remember old Simon the sorcerer? How he was converted, became a Christian, but when he saw that the brethren who sent apostles down to lay their hands on the brethren in Samaria, and saw what Peter was doing by laying his hands and imparting the Holy Spirit, he offered them money. He tried to buy this power. Peter said, "Thy silver perish with thee, for thy heart is not right before God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness, and pray the Lord, if perhaps the thought of thine heart be forgiven thee." Simon said, "Pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things that thou hast spoken come upon me." There's an example of praying. We need to pray to God to forgive our sins. Brethren, we need to be praying to God to deliver us from temptation. Now I'm going to go right back to that sixth chapter of the book of Matthew. Verse 13. Jesus said to pray, "Bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." You remember how Jesus told Peter, James, and John, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation, for indeed the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Oh, how we need to pray that we not give in to temptations that come into our lives. I talked to a fellow one day and he said, "I'll be glad when I get old so things won't really bother me like they did when I was young." I said, "You're crazy." Hey, because there's snow on the roof does not mean there's any heat in the house. Don't let anybody kid you. We've got trials and tribulations and temptations. I don't care how old we get. Oh, I know in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that the Lord has promised to deliver us from temptation. He'll make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. That's true. But we need to talk to God and pray about these problems that we have. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and how to keep the unrighteous under punishment under the day of judgment. I noticed this in 2 Peter 2 verse 9. For what should we pray? Brethren, we need to pray for our brethren. If there's ever been a time in my life of a Christian, I've been preaching 56 years, and if I've ever known, Jerry, a time that our brethren need to be prayed for, it's now. Oh, we need to pray for our brethren. Paul, when he wrote in the first chapter of the book of Ephesians, said that he ceased not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul prayed for his brethren in Ephesus. We need to pray for our brethren everywhere. The sixth chapter of this same book of Ephesians in verse 18. With all prayers and supplications, praying in all seasons in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We need to pray for our brethren. There's ever a time, we need it now. Paul prayed for the brethren in Colossae, chapter 1, verse 3. Listen to it. "We give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you." I tell you, I need prayers. And I think we all do. Paul prayed for the brethren at Thessalonica. You read it in chapter 1, 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2. Again, I notice he says, "Brethren, pray for us." 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 25. We need to pray for our brethren. Paul prayed for the young evangelist Timothy. I thank God, whom I serve with my forefathers in a pure conscience, how unceasingly in my remembrance of thee in my supplications night and day. Paul prayed for Timothy night and day. We need to pray for these young preachers night and day. Brethren, you got a rough row ahead of you. I turned in my resignation yesterday at Mathis. 56 years full-time work. Dub, it's tough. You know what I'm talking about. Young men, you got a burden ahead of you, but don't you give up. You stay with it. And you keep fighting the fight, and we're going to pray that God will take care of you. We need to pray for all men. What do you mean by that? Paul writing in 1 Timothy 1, verse 2. I exhort, therefore, first of all, that supplications, prayer, intercessions, thanksgiving be made for all men, for kings, and those in high places, that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life with all godliness and gravity. I pray for the leaders of our country and the world. I pray every night that those people in Laos will be set free, those brethren. I pray that the rulers will have change of heart, and they'll enact laws that will allow Christians to lead tranquil and quiet lives. I even pray for our president. It's a difficult thing for me to do, I tell you. I pray that he'll repent. And that he'll change his morals. And that he'll become a decent leader to be looked up to by our young people. Pray for those who are in authority. Pray for all men. And brethren, I need to pray for the lost. How about you? You pray for those people who are lost? Well, don't just pray about it. Get up and do something about it. It doesn't do me one bit of good to pray for my neighbors, which I love. The best neighbors I've ever had, they're Lutherans. The other night we had a real heated discussion. I'll not tell you about it now. Don't have time to take it off, Jerry. But, hey, we had a real good discussion on baptism. And I love him, and I pray every night his heart will be changed to accept the truth of the gospel. I believe God works, don't you? I don't know. I'm just like the speaker before. I don't know how God works in his providence. Neither did Joseph nor anyone else, but bless your heart, he works. I don't have to know. Somebody asked me one day, how do you know that that fruit of the vine and that bread down there, that unleavened bread, is a communion with the body of Christ? How do you know it communes? I don't know, except God said it. I don't have to know how. I know it's not literally his flesh and blood, not transubstantiation. I know that. But I pray to God, pray for the sick. Now you say, aha, you're going to use James. I knew that's what you was going to do. Yeah, that's right. You got me. James 5, verse 14. If any man be sick, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Yeah, but don't you know the elders had miraculous gifts then, and they could pray, and they could heal miraculously? Well, maybe I'd qualify when the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Pray for the sick. Do what you can. I have two doctors in Corpus Christi that I love dearly. They're not Christians, or they're not members of the church. They're not those that we know about, but they're really religious people. One of them is my heart specialist, and I love him. He wrote me a letter just the other day and said, pray for me, I'm going to China again. See, what he does, he goes over there and teaches those people how to do these heart surgeries. I love that old boy. My internist is a great and very religious man. Stood up to the homosexuals. That's more than some of my own brethren will do. Hey, stand and pray for these. It was mentioned a while ago that we pray for wisdom. Now, you can get learning, you can get understanding, and you can get a certain amount of knowledge from reading books. But I know a lot of people that's got a lot of knowledge, but they don't have any wisdom at all. We need to pray for it. How's God going to give it? I don't know. He just said pray. Do you believe it? I do. How do you know that? Well, listen to what he said. If any man lacketh wisdom, let him ask God. This passage was used a few moments ago. So if I'm wrong on it, well, so was the guy that spoke. Mark was wrong about it a little bit. Now, Jerry, if he's wrong, then you jump on him, but don't get on me. Okay? No, that's right. Hey, pray for wisdom, brethren. Sometimes we need so much wisdom in things that we approach, circumstances, certain people. We need to pray. And we need to pray when we are in trouble. At midnight, Paul and Silas were in the prison in Philippi, fasting in the stocks. The Bible said that they were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners heard them. Oh, I've been in that little place. It's supposedly the same jail that Paul and Silas were in the ruins in Philippi. You boys will get a chance to go someday, and I hope you do. But I'm thinking about what were they doing? Having been beaten and suffering, they were in trouble, and they needed prayers, and they were praying to God. I love the 50th Psalm. Listen to verse 15. And call upon me in that day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, that thou shalt glorify me. Lest my time run out, I want to take fast a few more thoughts. Pray that the Word of God will be preached and that it will be accepted. What do you mean by that? Listen to what Paul said. Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, watching therein with thanksgiving, withal praying also that God may open unto us a door for the Word, to speak the mystery of Christ, that which I am in also in these bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Let's pray that we'll speak like God wants. Pray that God... I want to skip this one. I'm going to another one. Pray for sinful brethren. Brethren, we need to pray for people who are sinful. Finally, brethren, pray for us. Paul said, if any man see, John said, if any man see a brother sinning a sin not unto death, pray for him. Now, if a man sinning a sin unto death, don't pray for him. Well, what is that? Well, you see a man that will not repent. There's no indication of repentance. Don't pray. God's not going to give that man. But if you do pray for a man that is not sinning a sin unto death, God hears that prayer. And I know a lot of brethren that I don't know whether they've sinned unto death or whether they'll repent or not. But I pray for some that I have been working with in the town where I live that are no longer faithful. They quit the church years ago. And I visited with them and I talked with them. And they say, I know what I need to do. And I say, you better do it while you can. And I'm not going to pray for you if you don't make a change. Pray when you're saying farewell. Somebody mentioned, Jerry mentioned about the brethren going with Paul, falling upon his neck, and went out to the beach and bid him, hey, brethren, you may never see those brethren again. Pray. You may never see them. I remember when I saw my daddy in San Marcos the last time. I was leaving on a plane for California. And I said, Dad, Lord willing, I'll be back in 3 days. And he looked at me, and as I went out the door, I looked into his eyes and I said to my sweet wife, I may never see Daddy alive again. She said, oh, honey, don't think about that. Before the plane landed in Los Angeles, my daddy had died. You never know. Pray for brethren when you leave them, because you love them. One other thought. Pray for anything you really earnestly desire. You know the conditions. The Bible said, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. That my Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, that will I do." He said almost the same thing in the 15th chapter of the book of John. Almost identical. You see, God will grant our prayers. Don't doubt it. He said He would. Now, I know there are conditions. Sure. Brother Mark mentioned those conditions a few moments ago. One of them is, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, ask whatsoever ye will and it shall be done unto you. There's a condition. Another one is, whatsoever ye shall ask, ye shall receive. Because we keep His commandments. Listen, brethren, if I keep the commandments of God, if I abide in my Lord and Savior, if I do the things that God wants me to do, those conditions must be met. Here's another one. And this is the boldness that we have toward Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. That's a condition. I need to know those conditions, but then I should pray. And let me tell you, brethren, sometimes we pray wrong, and I think Mark mentioned this. 4th chapter of the book of James, verse 2, verse 3. You lust, and you have not. You kill, and you covet. You cannot obtain. You fight, and you war. You have not because you ask not. You ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you may spend it in your own pleasures. Brethren, there's conditions to be met before we pray, but when we pray, we need to pray earnestly. Jerry, I'm through. Listen to this. Pray earnestly for your desires. And brethren, I'll tell you one thing. Never forget this passage. It means more to me now than ever before in my life. Ephesians 3 and verse 20. You remember this. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God can do things that you can't even think about. You believe it? He has the power to do things that we've never imagined. Oh, it's there available to us if we'll just pray to God, follow the conditions, and have faith that God will answer. Oh, it'll make us happy, joyous Christians with a God that hears our prayers. Thank you.